Imagine if prayer was like trying to get hold of someone in the Inland Revenue Department. Have you ever tried to ring to get hold of someone, especially between now and July the 7th? Maybe a call to heaven could go something like this. I'm sorry, all our angels are busy helping other saints at the moment. However, your prayer is important to us and will be answered in the order that it was received. So please stay on the line. If you would like to speak to Gabriel, press 1. If you'd like to speak to Michael, press 2. For a directory of other angels, press 3. If you'd like to hear King David sing a psalm while you're on hold, press 4. Find out if a loved one has been assigned to heaven, press 5. Enter his or her IRD number, then press the star key. If you get a negative response, try area code 666. For reservations at my father's house, please press JOHN followed by 316. For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs, the age of the earth, and the whereabouts of Noah's Ark, please wait until you arrive here. Our computers have showed that you have already prayed once today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow so others can have a chance to get through. This office will be closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. Does that ring a bell? Have you been frustrated at the other end of a big corporation? Isn't it amazing, though, that prayer is not like this? How blessed we are that we have open access to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus said as much in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But when you pray, go into your room. Now in the King James Version it says go into your closet. But go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Isn't that amazing, isn't it? And that's where the idea of a personal devotional time, a closet time if you use the King James Version, a quiet time. So instead of having to go to a temple in a shrine on a certain day, or instead of having to use special words like repeated incantations, instead we can find any quiet spot in the home and close the door and pray. Any quiet spot even doesn't have to be in the home. And as Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us to pray the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And we don't have to use those words, Our Father, when we pray, though they are a helpful God, because prayer is a child who is greatly loved speaking to their father who loves them dearly. It's all about a personal relationship. Now, none of this is new to anyone who's been a Christian for any length of time. Yet, when you ask the average believer, they are on the one hand will acknowledge the importance of prayer, but if pressed, will confess that they struggle in prayer. Now, there are exceptions, but there's a common theme, and it goes something like this. Yes, I believe it's important for Christians to pray, but I struggle. Well, this morning there's good news. We can all up our game when it comes to prayer. We can all grow to enjoy and look forward to our closet times, our devotional times, our one-on-one with the Father. And how? Well, what we're about to cover this morning, and it's this. We can greatly enhance our prayer life, our one-on-one with God, by identifying and leaning into our devotional pathway. Now you'll ask, well, what's a devotional pathway? Well, this is an understanding that God has wired us differently when it comes to our natural approach to prayer, how we naturally come to God in prayer, the path that gets us there. There are 7 pathways. And so these 7 pathways will be distributed among the people that are here. This leads to a wonderful variety and richness in the prayer life of the church. So I'm going to go through briefly the 7 pathways, and I want you to think to yourself, which one best suits me? Now, 2 or 3 of them are aligned, so you might think 1 or 2 of these are kind of where I'm at, but there should be one that you think, yes, that's central to the way that I pray. So firstly, let's have a look at the first pathway. The first pathway is the relational pathway. Now, some people find their closet time, their devotional time with God, hard work. No matter how much they try, how focused they are, or what method they use, they always end up the same. Devotional times bore them. They feel they don't meet Christ, and they go away feeling disappointed with themselves and with God. And they may try a spiritual retreat. They may have heard if you get away for a weekend by yourself and have some spiritual guidance. So they try it, and then they come back depressed. It seems the longer they're on their own with God, they become more discouraged. However, these same people love group devotions. They love to join in a discussion in a small group and then pray afterwards. They come away energized. They love the idea of a prayer partner, someone that they can meet once a week or fortnight and pray with. They love praying with their spouse. And if they go to a group retreat with a whole bunch of people, they come back fired up, spiritually engaged. If you're like this, your devotional pathway is relational. Your closet time may never be fantastic, but it can be greatly improved as you make praying with others a priority. So as you pray with your prayer partner or in a small group context, our prayer meeting on a Thursday morning, that will spill over into your closet time and enrich your one-on-one with God. So that's the first pathway. The second pathway is the intellectual pathway. Some people feel closest to God when in their closet time, they have a study Bible open and a commentary or two. Why? Because they love wrestling with the text. They like discovering new insights, and they like to challenge those difficult questions. Breakthroughs and understanding bring them closer to God. Now, these people really get excited at services that focus on people's stories or lots and lots and lots of singing, because they're looking for something that stimulates their minds. Without the stimulation, they are restless and unfulfilled because their hearts and wills are never moved until their minds are challenged with the truth. However, once convinced about something, they have an extraordinary ability to influence others for good. If this is you, then your devotional pathway is the intellectual pathway. Your closet time will include study Bibles and other resources and a notepad to make notes. You will feel closest to God when you gain fresh insight to God and His ways. That's the second pathway. Now, the third pathway is the serving pathway. These people feel closest to God when they are helping others in the work of the kingdom. You can always tell who they are because when asked, they'll say they feel close to God when they are serving, not when they're praying or singing or doing other religious things. They enjoy these, but to a point. For instance, in our church down in Cromwell, we didn't have a built-in baptismal font for believers' baptism like we have here. So our nearest portable one was with a church in Queenstown. And I had a couple of guys and I just had to ring and ask, and they'd be pretty excited about going to Queenstown with the car and trailer and strapping it on, bringing it back and carrying it into the church, filling it with water, warming it up to just the right temperature so that on Sunday morning when we baptised, it was all go. Now, nobody saw that, but these two guys, I could tell they were just chuffed. And they were thrilled when that person was baptised and get up. And of course, then they emptied the tank and took it back and all that sort of stuff. The way they felt closest to God was serving. So again, if that's you, let these serving opportunities motivate and spill over into your closet time. Next, we have the contemplative pathway. So some people feel closest to God when they spend long periods of time on their own with Him. They enjoy God's presence. They meditate on His goodness. They think through great issues like suffering and the cry of the poor, and they bring these to God. They'll often spend time writing songs or poems, which often then come to bless the church. Now, whereas the contemplatives love being alone with God, they tend to steer away with relational activities because people and activities drain them. Contemplatives live for their relationship with God. They're happiest when they gaze into God's face and adore Him with holy passion. If this is you, then your devotional pathway is contemplative. Now, of all of the pathways, this is the one that naturally aligns with the closet time. And those who are contemplative cannot understand why the rest of us struggle, because that's the way they're wired. Next, we have the activist pathway. Now, some people feel closest to God when they're living on the edge of their potential. They charge into battle and lead a great cause. And they can grow great ministries when the odds are stacked up against them and their only hope is to trust God and his intervention. These people feel closest to God when they're fighting for justice, leading the charge to help the poor, writing letters to the government or the newspaper editors, and calling on the church to wake from apathy and get on with winning the world for Christ. If this is you, you're a pain in the backside. Well, I shouldn't say that, should I? Sorry, I apologise or repent for that. If that's you, we need you. Because some of us are a lot more comfortable sitting in the pews than get out and doing stuff. If this is your devotional pathway, please, hang in there with the rest of us. And as an aside, can you see how far away contemplatives are from activists? They're on different planets, aren't they? So one considers the height of following God is retreating, I should say, for the world. So the contemplative thinks that to follow God, you've got to retreat from the world and gaze upon his beauty. And the activists think if you want to follow God, you've got to get out in the world and win it for Christ. And they don't often necessarily see eye to eye in the church. But goodness me, we need both. Think how poor the church would be if we had no contemplatives and no activists. Now, how are you going? We've covered five. We've got two more. So some of you will think, well, yes, I've got it pegged. I think I'm one of these. But some of you are not quite sure. So let's see how we see we go for the next two. Well, the sixth one is the creation pathway. Some people feel closest to God when they are in the splendor of creation, praying outdoors, living where they can see great views, walking on tracks across great mountains or through the bush, holidaying in open spaces. Put them somewhere in creation and they feel God is so close. Now you tie them down to a city or within four walls and you don't give them any respite, they will dry up inside. If this is you, your devotional pathway is creation and you need regular contact with the outdoors to feel close to God. You love and to pray and read your Bible outside, but you're not sure as if this counts for a closet time because there's no door to close. Rest assured, it pleases the Father's heart when you pray in creation. And finally, we have the worship pathway. Some people feel closest to God when they're worshipping with all of their being, especially with music. There was a businessman who once attended a church for a good number of years, but it was a church where there was a lot of head knowledge. And he developed an empty heart, and he was craving for something more, but he was faithful. So he stayed at that church. And then a friend invited him to come to a church on another part of town. So he went with his friend, and this was a church that worshipped full on, with passion. And the businessman, for the first few weeks he attended, could do nothing but cry through the services because he had found God-honoring worship that he had yearned for years and really never knew that he missed. Discovering meaningful worship for this person was like a dam breaking inside him. Later, he joined a church like his friend. And now, whenever he's got a big business decision to make or when he's got an overflowing heart, he gets some worship CDs or his Spotify playlist and he goes for a long drive in his car, just letting the music soak into him. And sometimes he has to pull over because God's presence so overwhelms him, he can no longer drive. So if you can connect with this, then worship is your devotional pathway. Now, there we have them. Seven. So relational, intellectual, serving, contemplative, activist, creation, and worship. Now, I'm hoping, or my prayer is that you will have identified with one of those in particular. Now, there might be a couple. You think, oh, it could be this one or that one. But there's none of us here that will have all seven. And there's no one here that will have none of those. So what do we do with this information? Well, I've got four take-homes, four applications with this. First thing, identify your pathway and lean into it. So now that you've identified your pathway, learn to and embrace it. Thank God that he's wired you this way and ask him to show you how to use this and get even closer to him. And the other thing is, don't feel guilty that your pathway isn't the same as someone else. So you might be naturally attracted. You might think, well, that pathway is awesome. I wish I had that. But that may not be the way you're wired. So for me, when I was growing up in the church, I assumed that the contemplative pathway, that ability to spend hours with God and in prayer and worship, that was the height of devotional life. And I tried and just, you know, there were some nice things that came out of it, but boy, it was a struggle. Until I realized that my pathway was the intellectual pathway. You know, I'm the person that will have commentaries open and notebooks, and I'll go down this wonderful rabbit hole of exploring God's word, which you reap the benefit on a Sunday. But as soon as I realized that intellectual pathway was my pathway, I gave up feeling guilty that I wasn't a contemplative. It's really freeing. And all of these, by the way, are not excuses to stop doing your closet time. All of these pathways are to help us have a Bible in our hand and go into a quiet space and read and pray. So identify your pathway, lean into it, don't feel guilty because someone else may have a pathway you think is better than yours. Second thing, respect the pathway of others. Realize that just because you get passionate about one pathway, not everyone is. So I can easily listen to, prepare a sermon for 60 minutes. Be quite happy to preach a 60-minute sermon every week. And there'll be one or two of you saying, "Can you bring it on?" And the rest of you will be thinking, "No way." But you're just too polite to say it. 60 minutes is too much. Which is why I tend to preach for 20 to 25 minutes. Because I know it's not everyone's devotional pathway. And a worship leader can easily be lost in wonder for 4 to 5 to 8 to 10 songs straight. And some of you here are saying, "Bring it on." And others are saying, "No, I cannot sing that chorus for another 6 times." And so, in Auckland, where I was ministering in a church there, we had the one morning service, and we had a wonderful group of musicians. And these wonderful musicians, they understood the time constraints. We only had just on an hour. They understood the generational tensions between those who wanted hymns and those that wanted contemporary music. And they balanced it really well. Then one day the leader came up to me and said, "The musicians have been talking and we want to play a lot more contemporary songs. But we know they won't fit in the morning service. What we'd like to do is once a month in the evening, we would like to have a gathering where we just play lots of songs and invite people to join us." So it wasn't a music practice. They would just select songs they liked, might be 8 or 10 songs, and they would play them. And I said, "Yes, 2 conditions. One is that we have a 10-minute reflection on God's word, and the other thing is we have communion." And that's what we did. Because they understood that that it wasn't right for them to have 10 or 20 worship songs on a Sunday morning, just because that's the way they are wired. And so they looked for another opportunity to do that. And it was really successful. We had about 1/3 to 1/4 of the church would attend on the Sunday night. And they were lovely, low-key, lots of music, really reflective. And that's because they understood that they couldn't force their devotional pathway onto others. So respect the pathways of others. Thirdly, we need all the pathways. And I alluded to this before, but imagine how boring it was if everyone here followed the intellectual pathway and we had no servers. Nothing would get done. We'd all have a bunch of bright ideas. Nothing would be done. Imagine if we were all relational, but we had no worship. You know, we'd all be very friendly and we'd have lots of cups of tea together, but we wouldn't be doing our core business, would we? Which is glorifying God. And so when it comes to the diversity of gifts, you can't really go past that wonderful passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which we had read earlier before. I'll read it again. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So even though Paul is talking about spiritual gifts there, it applies just as much to these devotional pathways. How enriched we are if we had in our congregation a good measure of every one of those pathways. And if any one of those pathways is missing, then that's a weakness for the church. And unfortunately, the activist pathway, they tend to struggle to be in churches because churches like ourselves can be quite conservative and get annoyed when people needle us to do stuff. And so you do find that some churches are really defined by activism because that's where they all go. But we're enriched when we have all of the pathways active in our devotional times. And the final thing is a caution. God gives many good gifts, but each one of them we can corrupt. Devotional pathways are no different. Now remember, a pathway's primary function is to draw us close to God, to enrich our closet times. But we can twist and warp even our own pathway, for they can become a source of pride. Now we may be feeling close to God because we are full-on activist. We love living on the edge, but then we can look down on servers as pathetic and contemplators as dreamers. Those of us that are intellectual can puff ourselves up with pride and think, well, these people here just don't engage at that level. How come they don't know this, that, and the other? And so you've got to be cautious and not look down on other people whose pathways are different. A second caution, and with a large amount of irony, is that we can use our pathway to hide from God. Instead of leading us closer to God, they can be dead ends and blind alleys. I'm sure you've heard of this, I certainly have, where you talk to a non-church person about spiritual things and they say something like this: why should I go to church when I feel close to God when I'm gardening? Creation is their pathway, but instead of letting it lead them to God, they use it to hide from God. Servers can be doing so many things in the community that they're too busy to go to church to attend, too busy serving others than to go to church. Intellectuals can use their study to argue against the existence of God when it has wired them to come closer to God. Activists can be too busy to read their Bible. Relational people can be too busy going for small group, to a coffee, to a friend, to a church service. Musicians can be more concerned about performing than humbling themselves before the living God. So there's all sorts of ways that we can use our devotional pathway to distance ourselves from God. None of us is immune from corrupting God's good gifts. But God, in his generosity, he keeps on giving. God is open-handed to us even when we least deserve it. In fact, ultimately, God gave up even his son Christ on the cross to adopt us as his dear children, save us from corruption and fill us with his Holy Spirit. Without God's sovereign work in our heart, then these pathways can be a source of pride or a clever way from hiding from the Lord. However, because of God's great patience, because God raised Jesus from the dead, and because we are sealed and filled with the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed day by day to be God's children. And he is using these pathways to turn our hearts and our minds and our will towards him and his ways. Let's not resist. Let's lean into our pathway. Let's walk along the way, the path God has set for us as the Holy Spirit leads us closer to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way that you've wired us. Thank you that we're not all the same. Thank you that you've given us different pathways to find your Father heart. Help us all, Lord, to identify our pathway, lean into it, learn. Help us to be aware of how other people connect with you and support them and not criticize them. Encourage us all, Lord, to be your family here at St. Andrew's Mount Maunganui, to be the family of yours that you want us to be. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen.